Thank you for joining me on the podcast today. We're going to talk about understanding worry according to Jesus. This is Ray Martinez, and I really appreciate you listening in. Jesus speaks often about the dangers of worry, describing it as a hindrance to our spiritual growth and a sign of lack of faith. In this podcast, we'll explore what Jesus says about worry, its effects in our lives, and how we can overcome it. We'll talk about the nature of worry, the effects of worry, and how to overcome worry. A lot of these things can sound simple on the surface, but they are complex. And, you know, since worrying should not be a part of a believer's life, how does one overcome that? So we're going to take a deeper dive into this. You know, according to Jesus, and this is the nature of worry, worry is a form of anxiety or a fear about the future, similar to what fear is in itself. In our reading today, Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what it will eat or drink, or about the body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" Jesus acknowledges that worrying is a natural human response to the uncertainties of life, but he urges his followers to trust in God instead of worrying. Now, there are some effects about worrying. Jesus warns that worry can have a negative effect on our lives, both physically and spiritually. In Matthew 6:27, he says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" In other words, what's the point? He also says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So in other words, he's going to supply everything we need if we seek God first. Jesus points out that worry can distract us from what is truly important in life and prevent us from living fully in the present moment. Those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hands in everything. Overcoming worry. Jesus offers several strategies for overcoming worry and anxiety. In Matthew 6:31 through 32, he says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Jesus encourages his followers to trust in God's provisions rather than worry about material possessions or the future. Since worrying, as we mentioned before, should not be a part of our believer's life, how does he help us overcome this? If we look at 1 Peter 5:7, we are instructed to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for you. I think that's interesting. It uses the word anxiety or worries because this is human nature. He knows we're going to do this, but he says, here you go. Throw it out there. Get it out there. When he says cast it out, it's like when you're fishing. I remember when I first learned how to fly fish and they were teaching me how to cast. No, that's not right. Do it again. No, that's not right. There has to be a way that we cast it out. And that is this total reliance on Jesus. God does not want us to carry around the weight of problems and burdens. In this verse, God is telling us to give him all of our worries and concerns. Why does God want to take on our problems? The Bible says it's because he cares for us. So if he cares for us, he's going to carry our load. When you care for someone, don't you try to do something for them to help lighten their load? You try to carry their load. That's what Jesus said. Jesus says, "I can do it all." God is concerned about everything that happens to us. No worry is too big or too small for his attention. When we give God our problems, he promises to give us the peace which transcends all understanding. Look at Philippians 4:7 for that verse. That's what's great. He says, "I give you peace." And what does that peace do? It transcends all understanding. In other words, you'll understand at some point. You'll get it. All of your failures and bad decisions don't disqualify you from God. They are mirrors showing you that you need God. Living in the present moment is really valuable. Finally, Jesus is encouraging his followers to live in the present moment and not worry about the future. In Matthew 6:34, he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Deal with today, and let's not worry about tomorrow. Keep in mind, Jesus speaks of worry as a hindrance to our spiritual growth and a sign of lack of faith. He warns for the negative effects of worry in our lives and offers strategies for overcoming it, including trusting in God's provisions and care, having faith, and living in the present moment. Psalms 94:19 says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." In other words, your comfort did. That's what David was crying out. Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety weighs down a heart, but a kind word cheers it up." When you see people down or you see people worrying, encourage them. Say some kind things. Do things to help them, not to help them mull over it and make it even worse. This is such an important topic. I've provided you with more information about medical research that may help you identify why you're experiencing some symptoms. Worrying is a natural human response to events or situations that we perceive as threatening or stressful. Excessive worrying can have negative effects on our physical and mental health. Let's explore some of the ways which worry can cause physical and mental ailments and consider strategies for managing worry and anxiety. Now, there's physical ailments. Excessive worrying can lead to a range of physical ailments, including digestive problems. Worrying can cause digestive problems such as stomach pain, bloating, diarrhea, and constipation. This is because worrying can trigger the release of stress hormones such as cortisol, which can affect the digestive system. It creates headaches. Chronic worrying can cause this tension that we can't handle very well. Then there's the cardiovascular problems. Studies have shown that worrying can lead to an increased risk of cardiovascular problems such as high blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke. This is mainly because the stress hormones can cause inflammation of the blood vessels, which can lead to the narrowing and the hardening of the arteries. That's trouble, folks. Then there's mental ailments. Excessive worrying can also lead to a range of mental health problems, including anxiety disorders, which is that chronic worrying, such as having a panic disorder, an obsessive compulsive disorder, as you know as OCD. These disorders are characterized by persistent and excessive worry that can interfere with our daily life. And then there's depression. Worrying can also lead to this depression, which is characterized by feelings of sadness, hopelessness, and a loss of interest in activities that were once enjoyable. And then don't forget about insomnia. It can lead to the difficulties of falling asleep or staying awake and not being able to sleep. This can cause fatigue, irritability, and difficult concentrating from day to day. These references come from the American Heart Association, the Harvard Health Publishing, the Mayo Clinic, the National Institute of Mental Health, and a host of other documented facts. Let me go back to Gideon. Gideon often was considered the poster boy for fear and a person who worried and lacked trust or lacked faith. I mean, he's categorized with all these things. When God first commanded him to rescue the Israelites, Gideon was hiding in a wine press to escape his enemies. Look at Judges 6:11. Throughout his entire story, Gideon demonstrated fear, anxiety, and doubt. Let's take a deeper look into Gideon's life, and I'll just capture some scriptures that really point to him. Then it says in Judges 6, and we go from verses 11 through all the way of verse 40. But when you just look at verse 12 in chapter 6, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.'" What is the angel of the Lord doing? He's encouraging Gideon. He's calling him a hero before he's even done anything. In fact, he's hiding. He's worried about the enemy. And then Gideon replies, he says, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." See, Gideon right away just inundates him with three questions and makes a profound statement that, you know, that God brought him out of Egypt. He acknowledges that, but now he's been abandoned. And when you jump down to verse 15, Gideon replies to the Lord again, "How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." He's saying, we are the weakest. We just don't have any ability. And I, of anybody, is the worst. So he's really beating himself up. And then look at verse 17. The Lord's again trying to encourage him and said, no, you're going to lead this battle. And Gideon says, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it really is the Lord that's speaking to me. Well, he's right there face to face, right? In verse 18, that verse cracks me up. He says, don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. Don't go anywhere. He's worried that he might even leave, but he says, don't go. And he answered, the angel of the Lord said, I will stay here until you return. Isn't that awesome? So Gideon went home and he cooked up a quick batch of food and he made some unleavened bread on a rock and he poured broth over it and then he brings it back. And in verse 21, it says, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the tip of a staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. In verse 22, it says, when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, O sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord's face to face. And then suddenly he hears this voice, and it's the Lord. And he says, it's all right. Don't be afraid. You will not die. Then in verse 34, it says, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if Gideon realized it, but he was clothed with power. And in verse 36, if you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel, as you promised, prove it to me in this way. Gideon still wants more proof. Isn't this that amazing? And then he says again in verse 39, please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. So he wants proof in another direction, in another way. So Gideon has really put the Lord to the test. I'm not saying this is what we should do, but Gideon was concerned. He was worried. He's putting his life and his family and all the troops that he has at risk. So he wants to be sure that he is sure. Well, you probably know the rest of the story. It was a great success with a bunch of jars and a bunch of horns that they defeated the Midianites, and God handled the battle. Don't think David wasn't stressed. He was a stressed king. He was faced with running away from King Saul. David was no doubt stressed over King Saul's many attempts to kill him. As a hunted fugitive, he lived for a while in exile in the land of the Philistines in order to escape Saul. The Israelites had decided to worship God instead of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. But upon hearing a message from the wicked queen Jezebel that she would soon have Elijah executed, he ran for his life. He became depressed and discouraged, thinking he alone was remaining obedient to God. Look at it in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 through 4. He was worried. He's all alone. God's answer to the prophet was that he needed to get back to work and not be discouraged because he was not alone in worshiping God. He, in fact, told him that there were 7,000 others like him in Israel who still worshiped their Creator. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 through 18. Let me say this in closing. Please remember this. God didn't remove the Red Sea. He parted it. And sometimes God doesn't remove your problems. He makes a way through them. If we can understand that and just conceive that and believe that in our hearts, then we can be achievers and we can be successful with the guidance of God's hand that is upon us. You have a blessed day.